Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Over the next few weeks, I believe it's time for us to do some soul searching, to kind of take a personal spiritual inventory of where we are in our relationship with the Lord. Ask this question: am I serving the Lord in the way that He wants me to be serving in His kingdom, the church? Last week, we looked at the fact that we must pray so that we will not lose heart. We won't grow weary. We won't become discouraged, because it's easy to do that. Our text for today's message comes from the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 63. And David here is actually praying to God as he was running from his son Absalom, who was trying to take his throne. And he found himself in the desert area outside of Jerusalem. So let me start with this question to introduce what I want to talk about today. Have you ever had a goal in your life? A desire to do something, or maybe even a desire to acquire something that you pursued with great intensity, with great enthusiasm and passion? Now, maybe it was a new job, maybe it was a new house, maybe it was even a new ministry that you wanted to be a part of. When I was preparing for this, I couldn't help but think of a movie I saw a few years ago. How many ever watched the movie The Pursuit of Happiness? It was based on a true story about a man by the name of Chris Gardner, who in the movie was played by Will Smith. So here's Chris Gardner's story. Back in 1981, he invested all of his family's savings in portable bone density scanners, which he then tried to sell to doctors. He went broke. His fiancée, also the mother of his young son, left him, but Gardner continues to pursue a job in order to provide for his son. So he gets a chance to be a stockbroker, but the only problem was this was an unpaid position, and they only usually chose one out of 20 that went through the training. So his bank account was soon garnished by the IRS for unpaid taxes, and he and his young son are evicted. As a result, they're now homeless, and as the movie portrays, at one point, they stayed in a bathroom at a subway station. He finally finds a homeless shelter, local church, but he must rush there each day in order to land a place in line to be able to stay there that night. Now, the story ends well. Eventually, Gardner gets the job as a stockbroker, and now, and I just looked it up this week, he's still living. He owns his own company. He's a multimillionaire, and he's a motivational speaker. Now, the point is that he never stopped pursuing a job so he could provide for his family. What is it that you have passionately pursued? Maybe it was something small, like just trying to lose weight. Maybe it was for a spot on the starting team, whatever that team might be. Maybe it was a car you wanted. Maybe it was a pursuit of a boyfriend or girlfriend that you wanted to be serious about. In fact, I can tell you a story about that. Back when I was in high school, I was able to sit next to a young lady who I knew but I'd never talked to before. I was a senior and she was a junior. Her name was Debbie Medley. And I thought, oh man, I get to sit by her today. So I thought, I've got to ask this girl out. So I did. She couldn't go. So she was supposed to have, and I don't know if she would have or not, but she had surgery to remove molars, wisdom teeth. So I thought, boy, I want to go out with this girl. I've got to pursue her. So I went down to Tom's Ice Cream. By the way, Tom's Ice Cream was around that many years ago. And I bought her a box of chocolates, and I took it to her. And we're married today because of a box of chocolates. I know. Not really. But what is it that you did to get what you wanted? Did you give it your best effort? Did you think about it day and night? Did you focus all your energies on it? Did you devise a plan? And probably most importantly of all, did you not stop until you did get it? Now, we all have various kinds of pursuits in life. They provide drive. They give us a sense of purpose and accomplishment. But today, I want us to think about this. What would happen if we gave that same kind of effort in pursuing a relationship with God? What would happen to us as individuals, as families, as churches, if each one of us would make this kind of all-out effort to pursue God and pursue His will for our lives? Now, I've entitled this message, The Pursuit of God. It's also the title of a book by A.W. Tozer. In another book called A Passionate Pursuit of God, author Tim Ritter describes what I believe to be a very accurate assessment of where many Christians sometimes end up in their relationship with God, and he encourages us as to what can be done about it. So here's what he writes, page 12 of his book. He says, "Eternal life in the future tense is eternity in heaven with God." Amen to that. "Eternal life in the present tense is knowing God personally now. Eternal life in the present breaks through limitations and experiences the best that life can offer." And many Christians miss that. Oh, we do our duty as believers, but no passion drives us. No power enables us. Sometimes our very busyness for God masks the emptiness we still experience. And we feel guilty for being a Christian and having those feelings. But when we encounter God for who He is, our lives are irrevocably transformed. As we craft our lives to better know God, we move from religion to relationship, from duty to passion, from frustration to power. Now, I happen to agree with that. Maybe we get there sometimes in our walk and in our life. So let me tell you where I'm coming from today and the motivation behind this sermon. For some time now, I have felt a stirring in my heart for us as a church, for me as a Christian, to move to a higher level of commitment in our relationship with God. Now, there's no question, we have been enjoying the blessings that God gives to us from His presence. We know that individually. We know that He's here right now today. He has blessed us in so many ways through the ministries that He has provided for us to serve Him by serving others. Nevertheless, I can't help but feel there's still something more, something deeper, something higher, wider, and longer that God has for us as a church. And I'm very excited about the fact that the plans for the building are done and we've already got things out there. We're getting ready in the next 3 or 4 weeks to get bids on our new building, which will provide us even more opportunities to serve in this community. In our text in Psalm 63, we find here an explanation of what it means to pursue God, to have a very strong desire to draw closer to Him. King David, in the midst of a very difficult time in his life, expresses a humble, heartfelt prayer that can teach us some lessons about how we are to go about this lifelong pursuit of God so that our relationship with Him through His Son and our Savior Jesus can and will remain strong. So I want to read just verse 1 of Psalm 63 to get started. And we're going to ask for God's help and we're going to get into His Word. Verse 1 says this. David writes, "God, You are my God. I shall be watching for You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and exhausted land where there is no water." Let's ask God for His help as we get into His Word. Father, thank You so much for Your presence here, and You certainly have blessed us in so many wonderful ways. Thank You for Your Word, which teaches us so many wonderful truths. And Father, one of the things I love about Your Word is it teaches us how to get from difficult times to blessed times. It teaches us how we need to draw nearer to You so that You will draw nearer to us. And we have a wonderful example of this in the life of King David. A man who the Bible says is a man after your own heart. But Lord, he struggled like we do. And he knew he needed to be near to you. He knew he needed a closeness with you. He knew he needed to pursue you, to develop a stronger relationship with you. And I pray, Father, that that's what we'll take out of the message today, that we need to be closer to you. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Help me to present this in a way pleasing to you, and it will be challenging and encouraging to all of us because you are a God who wants to draw close to us. Help us to be a people who wants to draw close to you. Please bless our time together. Give us wisdom and understanding is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. David sets forth, I believe, four requirements or conditions that can be summed up in the following ways as he prays this prayer. Number one, he talks about our reference point. It was his reference point. We need help. David knew all too well where he was. He was in a wilderness. He was in a desert place. And he knows the problems that he's having, so he cries out in verse 1, "My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and exhausted land where there is no water." Going hard after God often begins with an accurate point of reference. Until we recognize how dry and weary we really are and that we need help, we will never take steps to do something to correct our situation. Here's one thing I've learned over the years. If someone doesn't think that they need help in their life, then they will not pursue God. We at times forget the needs we have and how God has met our needs in the past. I remember reading about this absent-minded professor. And as he got older, it seemed like he became more absent-minded. And he was very absorbed in his work every day. And sometimes he would forget the simplest details. And I can identify with that. One morning, his wife said this as he was ready to go out the door. She said, "Now, Henry, remember, we're moving today. I'm going to put this note in your pocket. Remember, we're moving today. Don't forget." The day passed by, and the man came home to his house. He entered the front door and he found the place empty. And he became distraught and he walked out to the curb and he sat down. A young boy walked up to him. And Henry asked the boy, he said, "Little boy, do you know the people who used to live here?" The boy replied, "Sure, Dad, Mom told me you'd forget." One thing you can say for David is he didn't forget his situation and the fact that he needed help. Many Christians are in a desert place spiritually and they don't even know it. They're like the church in Laodicea described by Jesus in Revelation 3, verse 17, where we read, "Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have no need of anything,' you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Sometimes, when the physical needs of life are present, and in abundance, it can keep us from pursuing a closer relationship with God. It can even affect our motivation. It can affect the reason that we attend Sunday service. So it's time for a little challenge. Just think about this. Why are you here today? Is it because you don't have any other things to do, any other priorities? "Well, Lord, let me think now. I don't have any ball games to go to, no family to cook for, no trips to make. I've gotten enough sleep over the weekend. So, okay, I'll go to church today." Let me encourage you to examine your motivation for coming to church on a Sunday. Is it to get my needs and wants met? Is it because I want to be ministered to? Is it to hear a song that I might like? Is it just about me? When you come together on a Sunday, have you come to meet God? Have you come to pour out all you have and are before his throne? Have you come to empty yourself before him so that you can grow in and through him? James 4:8 says, "Come close to God and he will come close to you." God is waiting for us to come close to him. The lack of motivation to do that is what keeps us from pursuing him, from drawing closer to him. But if you will do that, if you will seek God and draw closer to him, you will be satisfied in a way that you can never explain. So like David, We need to realize, first of all, our reference point in life, and that is that we need help. Well, I still remember a sermon I listened to several years ago by Kyle Eidelman, and the 3 points of the sermon were very simple. He said, I can't, you can, speaking to God, please help. That's the 3 points. I can't, you can, please help. That's the reference point. Second, we need to understand our resource, to see God as our only hope. Notice the first words that come out of David's mouth in this psalm. God, you are my God. He knew he needed help, and he also knew that God was the only source to provide the help he needed. Now, 2 things stand out to me in his statement. Number one, David was acknowledging that God was present. He knows that God was there for him. Even in his spiritual wilderness, David would later write, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand will take hold of me. The knowledge that God is always present with us will build hope into our lives. I remember reading a story about a young mother who was very busy one day and the phone rang. So she goes to the telephone and she picks it up. And the voice on the other end says, honey, it's mom. I called because I know that you're busy today with the 3 children. And I just want to give you some help. I'm going to stop by to clean the house. I'm going to take care of the baby. And I'm going to prepare dinner for when the boys get home from school. I want you to get ready to go to my beautician. I paid her already. She's going to give you the works. Your appointment is at 1 o'clock. Give George a call at the office. Tell him that you'll meet him at Texas Roadhouse for dinner on me. Well, the young mother suddenly interrupts. She says, George, who's George? Well, that's your husband, said the caller. My husband's name is Fred, she replies. The lady on the other line says, is this 555-3212? And the young mother says, no, this is 555-2212. Oh, I'm so sorry, the embarrassed caller said. I have the wrong number. After a pause, the young woman sheepishly asked, does this mean you're not coming over? I mean, she was given the hope of some relief, but all of a sudden, that hope was gone. But let me tell you, with God as our side and the fact that he is present, hope is never gone. Secondly, David acknowledged God as my God. He laid personal claim to God as his rightful owner and ruler, the source of his strength. We are not going to find our way out of the dry places of our lives without God's help. Now, we may have gotten into our wilderness, our tough time, all by ourselves, but we're not going to get out of it in the same way. Psalm 18:6 says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Too often we forget how God has helped us. It will take a deliberate act of turning to God, not a quick casual reflection, but a true pursuit of God as our only hope. That leads to the third point, something that David realized and we need to realize, and that is our resolution, to set our hearts to seek or pursue God. Now, I want you to notice what he says about the importance of this pursuit, and I want to read part of verse 1 in the New King James Version, which says this, early will I seek you. Now, the idea here is not necessarily the hour of the day, although the early morning hours are a great time to seek the Lord. What I think this phrase means is that we need to make seeking the Lord, we need to make that our first priority in life, not something that can be left to the waning hours of the day, but as something that must be done as a first priority. Thus, the New American Standard says, I shall be watching for you, meaning as a first priority in my life, God. So when David says, my soul thirsts for you, he was demonstrating just how serious he was about pursuing God. Have you ever been so thirsty in your life that you thought you was going to die unless you got something to drink? I mean, David grew up in a desert region. He knew how absolutely essential it was to have a dependable source of water. And I believe that's why he's pleading with God. He is, in essence, saying, my whole body longs for you, Lord. Every cell in my body cries out to you for refreshment. I can't live without you. Have any of us ever been this serious about our pursuit of God? Has going hard after God become as important to us as water is when we're thirsty? Maybe we're not thirsty enough yet. How thirsty are you in doing the will and the work of God? And then finally, and this is the best part, I want you to look at our results. When we commit to the pursuit of God, the results will be the same as David's. So let me quickly list four of the wonderful results of pursuing God, and they're found right here in Psalm 63. The first is this. We will have a display of God's power and glory. Look at verse 2. David says, so I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory. Once we begin a renewed pursuit of God, we will immediately begin to see his power and glory displayed in our lives as never before. When God shows up in our lives, when God shows up in our services, good things start to happen. Starting with a sense of his presence as we enthusiastically come together as his children. The next result David mentioned is this. We will have a heart that will freely bring praise and worship to God. Look at verses 3 and 4 of this psalm. Because your favor is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. As David's heart is warmed by a new awareness of God's love for him, his lips, heart, and hands were freed up to praise and worship him. And the use of our hands was certainly a reference to raising our hands in praise. And there's nothing wrong. There's everything right about that. I believe it goes even further than that. It can also refer in the Bible to lifting our hands in service as we work in his kingdom. And then David continues with another result of pursuing God, and that is the inner satisfaction of the soul. Verse 5 says, my soul is satisfied as with fat and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. Remember all that hungering and thirsting he mentioned in verse 1? All the dryness and the weariness. Well, apparently God is solving that problem as David prays. Likewise, as we begin to draw nearer to God, he responds by satisfying the inner longing of our soul. Psalm 107:9 says, for he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and he has filled the hungry soul with what is good. Do you long to feel the inner craving for more of God? Don't you get tired at times of just going through the motions spiritually? Well, the answer is go hard after God, and he will satisfy the inner longing of your soul with himself. One last blessing of going hard after God, and that is a freedom from fear. Look at verses 6 through 8. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand takes hold of me. You can lay down at night and sleep because you know that God will watch over you and watch over your family. You can sing for joy because of the spiritual protection he provides. It's time to bring this message to a close. Let me ask this. What kinds of change would a committed pursuit of God make in your life? Do you think your prayer life would change? Your priorities? The use of your time? Your church attendance? Your burden for the lost? Usually a sermon like this produces one of several responses from the listeners. One group may say, oh, okay, preacher. Don't get yourself all worked up. Don't rock the boat. We like the way it is right now. So they don't expect anything different from us. Another group may say, "Preacher, boy, this sounds good. I can see this could really make a difference. I hope someone gets on board with you." But I know from experience that something like this calls for a lot of work, and I just can't get involved right now. Fortunately, there's another group who says, "Preacher, this is just what we need. In fact, this is what I need. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. Count me in. I'm going to have a better pursuit of God." So which group are you in? Are you ready to pursue God? Or are you satisfied with your level of commitment? What would it take for you to move to a new level? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to pursue God? Then my encouragement today is do it. Stop making excuses for why you can't break through and make a commitment to draw closer to God. Tell your body, tell your heart that you're going to pursue God, that nothing, not even your flesh, your fear, your anxiety about what others may think, nothing is going to keep you from pursuing a closer relationship with God. Let me end in this way. Maybe you're here and you've never made a complete commitment of any kind to Jesus, who is our Savior. We can only pursue relationship with God through His Son Jesus, who is the exact representation of His nature, the Bible says. So a great place for you to start today, if you're not a Christian, you've never named Jesus as your Savior, simply make the decision to become a part of God's family. Jesus did everything that needs to be done for you to be saved. All you have to do is say yes in faith. To turn from your sins. "Lord, I know I've made mistakes, and I need your help." That's our reference point. We need help. Jesus provides that help. Turn from your sins. Be willing to say, "I want Jesus as my Lord and my Savior." Repent. Be immersed, Peter said, for the remission of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Your walk begins. Your pursuit of God will begin. And He's always there. And as you draw closer to Him, He draws closer to you. What a great joy to know that. Amen. God will draw closer to us.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.